On this show, I'm going to talk about some of the other great podcasts here in Japan. From business to baseball, food to horror, there's a lot of other great shows on the air right now, and I'm going to discuss them all in this episode of the Tokyo Podcast. Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Tokyo Podcast. I'm your host, Anthony Joe, and I hope you are safe and sound wherever you are listening to this show. Here in Japan, the situation seems to be changing almost daily. What I mean is the government's response to the situation almost seems to be changing daily because probably they have no idea what they're doing. You know, like I said in the last show, watch Shin Godzilla and then you will have an idea what the government's response is, because I guarantee you right now they're trying to figure out, one, who's got the certificate for dealing with this kind of crisis, who's got the owner's manual, and who's in charge of the uniforms. So they're trying to figure that out, and in between then they're going to release a statement every now and then like, let's do this. So apparently now the government has declared a state of emergency in all of Japan. A few weeks ago, they declared a state of emergency in just like parts of Japan, like four prefectures, I think, or something like that. But then everyone pointed out to them, like, well, if people are traveling, you know, all over Japan, traveling between prefectures, declaring a state of emergency in one is not going to really do a lot, because people are just going to travel from point A to point B anyway. So the government's like, ah, good point, Sato. So yes, now let's declare a state of emergency all across Japan. But what I've heard is that people are still going to work. And interestingly, one of the challenges that corporate Japan faces has to do with a stamp. And in Japanese, it's called a hanko. And in Japan, they don't use signatures very much. They use a stamp. Everyone's got this like personalized stamp that usually is like made up of your kanji, like your last name or whatnot. And so you would, like, if you go to a bank, for example, you want to open a bank account, they're going to give you this document. You got to stamp it. You usually don't sign it. You have to stamp it. So you got to get this little hunko. And so all these office workers have to go to the office to basically stamp these documents. And that's why they have to come in. So they're trying to like figure out how they can modernize this and to help people like not have to go to the office and try to figure out maybe like electronic signature or something like that. But the funny thing is, Japan's IT minister, who's in charge of bringing the nation into the 21st century and digitizing it, is also the chairman of the lobbying group to protect the hanko industry. So this guy is like, okay, modern digital technology, but don't forget your old-fashioned hanko at the same time. Like, what? What's going on here? It's like that guy who was in charge of the cybersecurity for the Olympics. Remember a few months ago it came out, like, that guy was in charge of all the cybersecurity for the Olympics, and he had never used a computer in his life. Oh my God, so funny. So yeah, that's the situation in Japan. It's basically, you have a bunch of guys who have no clue what they're doing. They're not qualified to make decisions, and they're all just running around trying to figure out who's in charge. But apparently, as of now, we got a state of emergency. And the worrisome thing that I've read online is the fact that a lot of the hospitals are concerned about getting overwhelmed. And apparently they're kind of like right on the border there, that if they get, you know, a big rush of people, they're going to like be overwhelmed. Giddy giddy, as they call it in Japan, in Japanese. I love that word. Giddy giddy is such a fun word. It describes the situation of being like right on the edge of something so well. Like if you're just like barely hanging on and someone asks, how's it going? You're like, ah, giddy giddy. It means like you can lose it or you could make it. So apparently the hospitals are giddy giddy right now. And I've read some cases where people have been like turned away from like four or five hospitals and they're like dying in the ambulance trying to figure out a hospital. Like, could you imagine? How horrific is that? So that's kind of the deal with Japan right now, they have about just over 8,000 active cases. It's going up by like a couple hundred a day. It's hard to say, you know, if their response has been good or not, because, I mean, who the hell am I to say? I don't know. I just sit in my room and read the news. But it seems like they certainly had a fairly long warning that things were going to get bad. Interestingly, you know, it was only a few weeks ago that the government was saying that everything was fine, because it was only like, what, 3 weeks ago, maybe 3.5 weeks ago, that they were saying that the Olympics were still going to go forward. So really, I think that Olympic thing kind of screwed them over, because if it wasn't for the Olympics, they probably could have declared emergency or even started preparations more proactively. But I don't know what was going on, but maybe the IOC was putting pressure on them not to try to postpone the Olympics or whatnot. So that kind of like held them off. But it was interesting that as soon as they announced that postponing the Olympics, boom, suddenly the cases went through the roof and everybody started to freak out, buy toilet paper and whatnot. So it is a very interesting situation here in Japan land. But on today's show, what I thought I would cover is some of the podcasts that I like to listen to here in Japan. Because a few shows ago, I did movies that I like to watch, and like, I don't see the situation changing in Japan anytime soon. So most likely we're going to be all cooped up in our apartments. And so, I thought it'd be kind of fun to look at some of the other podcasts that are happening here in Japan. So first off, I'm going to start with a business podcast. And basically, the granddaddy of all business podcasts has got to be Disrupting Japan, hosted by longtime resident and entrepreneur Tim Romero. And Tim's show focuses exclusively on the startup scene in Japan. He interviews a wide range of entrepreneurs, CEOs, and founders here. And if you're looking for a really good insight into the startup scene in Japan, you gotta start with Disrupting Japan, because he's the one who covers it the best. You know what? I actually wouldn't be surprised if he covers the startup scene in Japan better in English than the coverage is in Japanese. I don't know. I've never seen the Japanese coverage, but honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if Tim's coverage is better than the Japanese coverage. But it is, it's really the show to start with if you're looking to either start a business in Japan or you're just kind of curious about the whole startup ecosystem here in Japan. So that's Disrupting Japan. Next one is Small Business Japan. You're gonna notice a lot of these shows have the word Japan in them. You know what I'm gonna do is I'll put this whole list on the show notes for this episode on Tokyo Podcast. So don't worry about trying to write everything down. Just go to Tokyo Podcast and I'll put links to everybody's show on there. So the next one is Small Business Japan, hosted by Joshua Smith. He spent 13 years in Japan running various kinds of small businesses. And I really like small business because I was a small business owner before. I have a passion for small business. I think everyone should own a small business at one point in your life, because I think it really teaches you a lot about yourself, business, other people, dealing with people, et cetera, et cetera. It's like a fantastic way to kind of like learn a lot about business in a very short period of time. So I really have a strong passion for small business. So I like the fact that Joshua is able to interview all these different small business owners around Japan. So if you're kind of a fan of small business, like I am, check out Small Business Japan. Next one is Business and Beers Japan, hosted by Andrew Hankinson. And kind of like it sounds, he interviews various successful business executives around Tokyo in a bar-type environment. So this show can be a little bit hard to listen to because there's a lot of background noise in the show. I especially like to listen to podcasts on like double speed, so I like to like just blaze through them as quickly as I can. Obviously, with this show, you don't need to do that because I talk pretty fast, but most podcasts, I like to go through them pretty quickly. But his show, I find it's hard to do that because there's so much background noise. So if you can put up with the background noise and you're interested in kind of the other executives here in Japan, check out Business and Beers Japan. And the last one in the business category is the Deep Dive by the Japan Times. Japan Times is obviously that huge online, print and online news website. And they have a podcast, kind of a news-focused podcast, that tries to go a little bit more in-depth behind the headlines, which is on their news section. So it's a little bit dry, I find the host a little bit dry, because it's news focused. So, but if you're interested in kind of news related podcasts, finding out kind of what's going on, definitely give them a listen. It's Deep Dive by Japan Times. Probably a good show to listen to get kind of daily updates about what's going on in Japan right now, because it is a news focused podcast. Okay, so next, I'm going to talk about a podcast I call, a category I call Living in Japan. And this is basically what it sounds like. It's usually a podcast hosted by a couple of people who are living in Japan. And the four shows that I found are, they all got pretty much the same format. So I kind of lump them all together in that they're hosted by a couple of longtime residents who talk about various aspects of living in Japan and usually have a couple of drinks along the way. So think of this as like a conversation between friends that you are able to listen into. And the shows that I found are Japan 2.0, Got Faded Japan, Voices in Japan, and Japan by River Cruise. And what I think is really great about these shows is that they will give you a really good insight into what it's actually like to live here. I know a lot of people turn to YouTube for that information, but I don't think YouTube really gives you an accurate representation of what it's like to live here. There are some channels that will do that, but let's face it, most YouTubers make content targeting the algorithm of YouTube because they all want to become YouTubers. And so their content targets, you know, they try to make content that favors the algorithm, which ends up with a lot of their content being quite similar. They're all just searching for keywords that they think rank well, for topics that they think people are searching for. So you get all these shows like, I'm going to the konbini today in Japan, or here's my apartment in Japan. Look, I bought a vacuum cleaner in Japan. It's like, really? Who cares? So I find like a lot of those YouTube shows, they kind of give you a false sense of like what Japan is like, because they will never produce a show that's real because they're paranoid about losing their precious subscribers or their YouTube ranking. So if you want to like delve into the fantasy of what it's like to live in Japan, YouTubers are great. If you want to learn what the reality of living in Japan is like, podcasters are great. So these four shows, Japan 2.0, Got Faded Japan, Voices in Japan, and Japan by River Cruise, will give you a really good insight into what it's like to live, work here in Japan. Japan by River Cruise is actually especially funny because it's hosted by two comedians. And I like kind of the content that they're producing. Check out their Abe Alarm Clock, which they posted on social media lately. It's kind of funny. So if you're looking for like some real insights into what it's like in Japan, check out those four podcasts. So the next category is learning Japanese. And this one is a very important topic to master if you're going to live and work in Japan. I am a horrible example of this because I don't speak Japanese, but I still manage to live and work here. I've met a few other people actually that also kind of struggle through actually. So it's not impossible. It's just more difficult than it needs to be. So you're better off just learning the Nihongo, getting it down. Your life will be so much better here in Japan. And to do that, you can start listening to these podcasts. So the two main ones that I think a lot of people find when you search for them are Japan Pod 101 and Learn Japanese Pod. Both of these are kind of a paid subscription service that they give you some free content and then they're trying to sell you their subscription plan. I've never bought either one of them, so I don't know how good their content is, but I feel like both of them actually offer a decent amount of free content as well. So if you like their free content, then I'm sure their paid content will be even better. The Learn Japanese Pod doesn't seem to be updated anymore, but he still has quite a large backlog of good content. So that's why I included it in this list. So if you're serious about studying Japanese, I think either one of those could be a good show to listen to. So the next one on the list, this is probably like the granddaddy of all learning Japanese websites. Can you guess what it is? It's Tofugu. Tofugu has been around since like the dawn of the internet. And he has got like a huge amount of content, both language and cultural related on his show. If you want to see how long Tofugu has been online, go on YouTube and search for Can You Learn Japanese from Anime? That video has been online. I don't know how long it's been online. Maybe 10 years now or something like that. It's been online a long time. Like, that's how far back Tofugu goes. So Tofugu has got a huge resource for learning Japanese on their website. And it's definitely one of your best spots to go to for not only podcast information about like podcasts about learning Japanese, but also just general information about learning Japanese as well. The next two shows are kind of similar in format. They are the Bilingual News and the Konnichiwa podcast. And both of these are kind of similar in that they have two hosts. One speaks Japanese, one speaks English. So it's a good way, I guess, to kind of train your ear to kind of listen to conversation and perhaps like pick up the other language. So obviously it's good for Japanese people if you're trying to learn English and vice versa. But Bilingual News, they started a long time ago. They're extremely popular with the Japanese audience. And Konnichiwa Podcast is started recently and they're doing kind of a similar format. So if you are trying to, if your Japanese is already not bad and you're just trying to kind of like improve your listening skills, then check out these two podcasts, because I find even for me it really does help to kind of understand what people are saying when you can kind of grasp the concept or context of what the sentence is. And so these two shows allow you to do that because one person is speaking English, one person is speaking Japanese. So you can kind of get the context of what they're discussing from the English speaker and then just listen to the Japanese speaker to see if you can like learn some new words or whatnot. So I think these two shows are, the format is really good to practice that. And then the last one in the language series is called News in Slow Japanese. And this one, I would say, is more exclusively towards like a maybe advanced beginner or intermediate level learner, because this show is all in Japanese. It's no English at all. It's all in Japanese. And what the host does is she basically talks about the latest news in Japan in a much slower pace. So she releases like two shows. One is regular speed, one is slowed down. So if you're a total beginner, you're not going to get anything out of the show, because obviously you have a hard time understanding anything she says. But if you're kind of a, say, an intermediate learner and you're trying to like improve your listening skill, I would give this show a listen to, because you can listen to the slow pace one, and once you're comfortable with that, just bump up to the like the regular native pace one. So that is News in Slow Japanese. Okay, moving on now, we've got Japanese culture. And to start off Japanese culture, I have two fantastically creepy podcasts to introduce to you. Uncanny Japan and Kawabana. I keep wanting to say like Kawabunga from the Ninja Turtles when I see this, but it's not Kawabunga, it's Kawabana. And both of these shows cover like the mythology and horror and other spooky stuff in Japan. You know that Ring movie, the girl with the black hair and the white outfit and all that? That's the spooky Japan. That's what everyone thinks of. So these guys cover all the horror of Japan. They're definitely not your like YouTuber bubblegum super kawaii podcast. Some of these are actually kind of creepy and they're kind of fun to listen to. So if your tastes lean towards more the dark side of life and you want to kind of get into the spookier side of Japan, I definitely recommend these two podcasts, Uncanny Japan and Kawabana. If I'm pronouncing that wrong, tell me. I'll post a link to their show in case I'm mispronouncing it and you're having trouble typing it. So, but really, both are really, really fun to listen to. Okay, so next in the cultural series are two food-related podcasts. Japan Eats and Sake on Air are two great shows for anyone who is a fan of Japanese cuisine. And it's kind of interesting to think about a podcast about Japanese cuisine, because, I mean, how do you do that? You know, do you eat something and describe it or whatnot? But both the shows actually do a really good job of talking about different aspects of cooking in Japan, Japanese cuisine, preparing it, all that kind of stuff. Japan Eats has probably got one of the most confusing websites I've ever seen in my life. I don't know who designed that thing. I think they're trying to copy the 99% Invisible website, but they did a horrible job of it. So just subscribe on iTunes so you don't have to visit their website. But if you can figure out their website, figure out where their podcast is, they actually have a good show that covers like a wide range of topics in regards to Japanese food. And Sake on Air, as you can probably guess, is all about sake. And what's interesting is I kind of searched for like other shows about sake or whatnot, spirits. And there's a lot of podcasts about beers, a lot of podcasts about wine, spirits, all that. But there's actually not a lot of podcasts about sake. And sake is kind of interesting because I actually did a video for a sake brewery in Hiroshima. So one of the first things I did when I came back to Japan last year, I was actually brought back by a company that wanted to film a promotional video at a sake brewery in Hiroshima. So that was actually why I originally came back to Japan last November. So I directed this video and we got to meet the owner. It's called Kamotsuru Sake, and we got to meet the owner and have a chat with him. And it's really interesting to kind of hear like his plans to try to grow sake around the world. And Kamotsuru is actually quite famous here in Japan. I'm sure many of you who are fans of Japan have heard of that restaurant called Jiro Sukiya. What's it? Sukiyabashi Jiro. It made that documentary called Jiro Dreams of Sushi about Jiro, that super fanatical sushi chef. A lot of famous Hollywood celebrities like to go there. So, anyways, at Jiro's restaurant, they use the Kamotsuru sake, and it was also at that restaurant that Prime Minister Abe poured sake for President Obama. And the sake that they used was Kamotsuru sake. And Kamotsuru sake is kind of famous. I got this one particular bottle that's famous. It's got gold in it, actual real live gold flakes in it. So here in Japan, it's quite a popular and famous sake. Overseas, it's not really known that much. And so we had an interesting discussion with the owner about how he can try to change that and get the word out there a bit more. So maybe Sake on Air podcast is going to help bring more awareness about sake to different parts of the world. And the last two podcasts couldn't be further apart in topic, but I feel like they're still Japanese culture related, so I'm going to include them in here. First one is Japanese Baseball Weekly. And as you can guess, this show is all about baseball. Now, you should watch Mr. Baseball before you listen to this podcast so you have a good idea of what Japanese baseball is like. Oh, Mr. Baseball is so funny. But this show, Japanese Baseball Weekly, has been on the air since 2011 and covers a huge range of topics about Japanese baseball. And the thing about, you know what's interesting about baseball? Baseball is a sport designed for commentary. Because it's not a very, have you ever been to a baseball game? Like, I'm a fan of baseball game. I like baseball. I used to actually play baseball when I was a kid, so I actually like baseball, but I gotta admit, baseball is not the most exciting sport to watch, right? Especially if you're not a hardcore fan. I mean, there's like 7 innings of nothing, and then maybe someone hits a ball every now and then, but it's really a show designed for commentary. Like, do you know what the ETA is on this batter, and what's the pitcher gonna do next, and all this kind of stuff. So all those color commentary guys, they just got like an encyclopedia of stuff that they have to like say to try to fill in the air, because there's not really a lot of action happening on the field. It's not like hockey or football or basketball. It's action happening all the time. There's huge stretches where people are just kind of standing around eating peanuts and adjusting themselves, you know? So Japan Baseball Weekly is kind of an interesting podcast because they have like just tons of stuff, baseball topics, stats, player stats, all this stuff to talk about. So if you like baseball and you're interested in checking out, like learning about Japanese baseball, check out their podcast. And you know what? If you're a fan of baseball and you're coming to Japan, I highly recommend you go check out a baseball game in Japan, because baseball game in Japan, I mean, the style of the play is relatively similar to, say, American baseball, but what's so great about watching baseball in Japan is the audience. The fans are fantastic. They've got like songs and dance moves and cheers for each individual player, and both sides, home and away. And it's not like they're so polite because they're so Japanese. So like, it's not like they're like cheering all the time. Whenever the whoever's up to bat is the fans that cheer. So when the home team is up to bat, the home fans cheer. And then when the away team's up to bat, the home fans sit down and the away fans cheer. It's really funny to watch. Like, they're sitting on either side of the stadium. They're both going up and down depending on who's up a bat or not. But it's fun to watch the fans. They're just super fanatical. I love the fact they got these like beer girls walking around, these big giant beer things on the bat. You can eat noodles and all that in the stands, yakisoba in the stands and all that. So if you're a fan of baseball and you're coming to Japan, I highly recommend going to check out a game, because the whole thing is just a super, super fun experience. Okay, and the last podcast on this list is Books on Asia, which is a podcast about finding good quality books on not only on Japan, but also the rest of Asia. And you know what? Actually, this is a really interesting topic because I remember when I was running the Gaijinpop blog, I did a couple of posts about Japanese literature, and I was really surprised at how many people were interested in finding more about Japanese literature and what kind of books they could read about it. So it does seem like there's a pretty passionate and dedicated audience to learning more about books about Japan. And so check out the podcast, Books on Asia. Each show, they present a dozen or so books from like new releases to old classics that they feel like you should read. And the host of the show is Amy Chavez, who is actually a longtime resident of Japan. She's written a couple of books herself and also someone I interviewed back on podcast episode number 31. So she writes a column for, I don't know if she still does or not, but she used to write a column for like the Japan Times. And so she is quite familiar with the literature world. So if you're interested in finding out more about books about Japan and around Asia, check out the Books on Asia podcast. And that's it. That's my list of other podcasts here in Japan, besides obviously the Tokyo podcast. I should have put it on the list, but you know, it's kind of a little bit on the nose, don't you think, to put your own show on the list. Give them all a listen, and hopefully you'll be able to discover some new shows about Japan. And as I said at the top of the show, I really hope that everyone is doing well in your part of the woods. And I'm really hoping that everything can get back to normal soon because, oh my God, has this thing ever killed the travel business? As I mentioned on my earlier show, I came to Japan to start a travel business. And we're pretty much dead in the water right now. So we're not quite sure how much longer we're going to survive. So I'm hoping that the tourism starts to come back soon. I don't think it's going to come back this year. So it'll probably be next year. But hopefully we'll still be around next year, and we'll be able to offer you guys the products and services that we started. Anyways, that's it for this show. Thanks for listening, everybody. My name is Anthony Joe, and talk to you next time. Bye-bye.